324, first, second, and last.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he did hold that sacred head for such a one as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crying that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Next one, 375. We'll do the first and last. 375.
Oh, the depth and the riches of God's saving grace, flowing down from the cross for me. There the debt for my sins, but the Savior was paid in his suffering on Calvary. Oh, the depth of such wonderful love, flowing boundless and full and free. And the death for my sins was all paid in his suffering on Calvary. Oh, what marvelous mercy, what infinite love, what immeasurable grace I see. By his blood I am cleansed, I am happy and free, through his suffering on Calvary. Oh, the depth of such wonderful love, flowing boundless and full and free. And the death for my sins was all paid in his suffering on Calvary.
And first, second, and last. First, second, and last. Always like this song, especially in the chorus. Just a mercy, grace, pardon, liberty. There's just a message in that, you know, something that's comforting and a thank you, you know. So that's it. First, second, and last of 381.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me.
Been doing a series of just those attributes of God. Taking, instead of trying to list all of them at once, just taking each one each evening. But typically, not just giving, I don't want to just give you information, well, I give you information, but I want us to, is the phrase, take it to heart. I want us to think, wait a minute, I want to establish this information makes me want to have a relationship with God. I want to be able to talk to God not only when times are joyous. Just don't leave God out of the picture. Don't just think, God, I need you because I'm in peril or hardship. Sometimes they're good times, the mountaintop experiences. Thank you, God. So this evening's lesson just looks at God's ability. God being able, the title, to deliver us. And I love other things too, his ability, as you look through the notes. What is God able to do? But by way of introduction, just by definition, when you think about God being able, well, I don't know what that means. But just look at some of the words that are identified with ableness. It means capable, he's apt, qualified, competent, efficient, can do, adept, skilled. A couple Old Testament stories you're familiar with. I didn't put these in your notes, but in Daniel chapter 3, beginning of verse 15, where Nebuchadnezzar says, "Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Who is that God? He says. So then you recognize Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered to the king. Also, they were known as Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So their names were changed. So they said to the king, "Oh Nebuchadnezzar, We have no need to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But then they said, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, neither shall we will we worship the golden image which you've set up. So they were bound. The fire, you remember the story? And they were thrown into the furnace. So after a while, King Nebuchadnezzar goes to the furnace of fire very early in the morning. And then and they were not burned when he looks in. In verse 28, still in Daniel chapter 3, he says, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. God is able. You know, what do you need deliverance from? Be the question, make the application. And then also in the story of with the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6, beginning of verse 19. Daniel gets thrown into the den of lions. So the king rose early in the morning, went in haste to the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Verse 22, Daniel answers, my God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths. They've not hurt me. So in this lesson, we're just going to note some of the ways that God is able. Let's sing one more song, kind of bring the lesson home. Number 493. 493. We'll exhort each other in song. 493.
The time, ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I bring hope. Secret, what God can do.
awesome things that the Bible reveals, not only about God, but his son Jesus. The Bible says in verse 30, Jesus said, the Father and I are one. So what God can do, Jesus can do. We're looking at what the Godhead in this lesson. So each illustration that I give is not just God the Father involved in our lives. So we'll take a look at each one in turn. Number one, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, the uttermost. And then he says, finishes the verse, to those who come to God through him, meaning Jesus, since he always lives to make intercession for them. I don't use the word uttermost very often. In fact, I can't tell you the last time I used it except in a sermon. But the word uttermost means it reaches, my illustration is, to the last person in line. If all the sinners were lined up single file, you know, according to the worst they've done, you know, each one gets worse as they get closer to the end. What about the first people? I'm the worst of the worst. I wonder if God can save me. Well, that's the word uttermost. God's salvation reaches the end of the line. The end of the line. It means the bottom. If he's able to save to the uttermost, it means those who are extreme or the farthest limits, the uttermost, he can save. He's able to save, you know, I used this lesson this morning, the one, typically I always round it off to three things. Someone might say to you, my sins are too horrible. I've sinned too many times. I've sinned for too long of a time, years and years. I wonder if God can save me. And yet that's the people we're reaching out with in the gospel. Because they're wondering, there might be somebody out there, I don't think God can save me because my sins are too many, too horrible, and I've done it for too long a time. Wow. Can God save me? And the answer is yes. That verse, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost, the extreme, the farthest that's out there. When the birth of Jesus is introduced, so Mary says, call his name, in Matthew 1, verse 21, call his name Jesus. And he gives the reason, for he shall save his people from their sins. Salvation, he reaches the uttermost. Then Hebrews 5, verse 9, he became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. Eternal salvation, yeah, that's offered. So, wonder what can God do? He can save to the uttermost. Second, I put in Hebrews 2, verse 18. He's able to aid those who are tempted. I'll begin at verse 17 and read the entire text. Hebrews 2, verse 17. It says, therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, like us, flesh, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. It's another word we don't use very often, is propitiation. It means a gift or a sacrifice that we can't make. Propitiation. He became what we could not provide for ourselves. So it's interesting that he becomes the one who is that is making the sacrifice, and he is the sacrifice. Kind of an interesting note. And the Hebrew writer points that out. He's the one that made the sacrifice as a high priest, and he is the sacrifice that was made. So he mentions he's a merciful and a high priest because he's been made like us. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted. Yeah. So the lesson is, Jesus once stood where we now stand. You know, he going through the hardships, the difficulties, the struggles, the troubles, the trials. Experienced a lot of different things during that 3-year ministry. Not only that, but even during his childhood. And the Hebrew writer says in chapter 4, verse 15, in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Yep. And so Peter, with that in mind, perhaps says in 2 Peter 2, verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He knows. Of course, in our generation, with all of our devices and inventions and things like that. Someone may say, oh, well, he hasn't been through what I'm going through because he's not experienced in the 21st century. But he was tempted in all points, like as we are. That's the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, whatever it is that Jesus has been tempted like that. Now, sometimes I use the illustration when someone's going through hardship, and people say that, you know, I know what you're going through. And sometimes they'll respond back, no, you don't. But the answer is to that, well, I've experienced what you've experienced. Say it's the death of a loved one. I may not have experienced the one a situation that you are, but I've experienced the death of parents. I've experienced the death of an older brother. I've experienced death of friends, relatives. I've experienced death. Maybe not, you might have had a tighter relationship than I've had with some of these, but I know what it's like to experience death. So that's the illustration. Well, he didn't experience 21st century. He experienced temptation, hardships and struggles. Number 3 in Jude, verse 24. Now unto him who is able, here's our word able again, able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Yeah, it'd be a joyous time when that takes place. So God is able to save us and God is able to keep us, or Jesus, the Godhead. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Yeah, tempted. But no temptation has taken you except such as is common to man. No. All of our temptations. It's common. We're in the same boat, as sometimes people say. But God is faithful. All right? Faithful in how? In that he will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with every temptation provide a way of escape that you can bear it or overcome it. God is able to do that, able to keep us from stumbling. Of course, in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hidden my heart. It didn't say thy word have I kept on the coffee table. Or thy word I have hidden in the shelf, in the bookcase. It didn't say thy word is in the trunk of my car. No, thy word I've hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Hide God's word in your heart. He's able to provide for us a way of escape. Number 4, the ability of God. In Acts 20, verse 32, Paul said, to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. You know, in Acts 20, verse 30, and that's in the whole verse, Paul says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. God's word has that ability too. God is able through his word to build us up, meaning we can be strengthened, we can be fortified, we can be sturdy, we can be encouraged. And you can add to that list of words. If you're going to be built up or fortified, Vernon said in Wednesday night class, you have to know God's word. Someone says, well, I don't have much faith. Well, Romans 10, 17, where's faith come from? Hearing God's word. You want to strengthen your faith? Involve yourself in study. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul said, told Timothy, study or be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. A workman, it's not going to come naturally. You're going to have to involve some gusto, some time, some energy. Study the word of God. Be diligent in it, that you might be shown to be an approved workman to God. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15, that from a childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures. What's the value of that? From a child, why are we teaching children God's word right from the start? Because they're able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The value of God. Exhort one another to attend Bible classes,
We exhort one another for personal Bible study, for reading, for just this Bible discussion. We encourage each other in that because of the value. It has the ability to make us wise unto salvation. Build us up. Number five, in Romans 4, beginning of verse 20, Old Testament story, Abraham. I'll read the entire verse. Abraham didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strengthened in. I like the next phrase, fully persuaded. Fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. I'm persuaded in that. That God, if God, what God promised he can do, he can perform, he can accomplish, he can finish, he can achieve. You can just pile on those kinds of words to give you confidence in your faith. God's able to do that, to make good on what he has said. Titus 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who promised, you know, cannot lie. Promised. Number 6, Second Timothy 1 verse 12. He says, for this reason, I suffer these things. Paul, why are you going through all that hardship and discipline and struggles and troubles and trial? Paul, what's in it? What's the value? And you see that? Make the application. Paul, why are you hanging in there? Why are you steadfast? Why? Why would you do that? For this reason, I suffer these things, but nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he which I've committed unto him against that day. The ability of God in our lives. He's able to keep what I've committed unto him. I keep that. Guard us from all these other abilities. Keep us from stumbling. Aid us in temptation. All these other abilities of God that's there. You know, we even have a song in our book that from the same verse, I know he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So Paul is certain of his future because he believes, he knows in whom he believes. And the last one, number 7. This is one of my favorites. It's in Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now unto him who is able, right, and I kind of stop and chew on that. Unto him you are, my God, you're able. All right, just read each next phrase and just stop for a moment. He's able to do. All right, thank you, God. You're able, and you're able to do. Then the next phrase is, okay, he's able to do exceeding. God, whatever you're able to do, you can do it exceedingly. Over and over again. You're able to do exceeding. Anything else? Oh, yeah, abundantly. Wow. There's more? That was pretty good that you're able to do exceeding abundantly. Anything else? Oh, yeah. Above all. don't just stop. Don't just read verse. Oh, God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. No, he's able to do. Chew on it. Able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we even ask or think. No matter what you can conjure up or invent, God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Yet the ability of God. So to him be glory, that's right, in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. So I just appreciate that so very, very much. Didn't let someone close. Should have maybe photocopied this song for us, but there's a song in an old hymnal. I'm not sure it's in the sacred selections, but it's in the hymnal that I had when I was a child called Great Songs of the Church. And it's the title of the song is He is Able to Deliver You. So here are the verses, the words. 'Tis the grandest theme. I like that. That's a good start right there. The grandest theme through the ages rung, 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. What is it? 'Tis the grandest theme that the world has ever sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. Second stanza. 'Tis the grandest theme in the earth or main. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain. 'Tis the grandest theme. Tell the world again. Our God is able to deliver thee. Third stanza. 'Tis the every time it's the grandest theme. 'Tis the grandest theme. Let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith. He will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. And then the chorus just repeats the phrase, our God is able to deliver thee. Our God is able to deliver thee. And then the last conclusion is, though by sin oppressed, come to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. That's the lesson, the ability of God. So we're going to sing a song that reflects that. Number 129, Amazing Grace. That's right. Because he provided something voluntarily to us for something we could not provide for ourselves. He's giving us something that we need. So let's stand on encouragement, exhortation. You're subject to it if that's your resolve, if that's your desire to be baptized for remission of sins, to be added to the church, become a child of God, all those spiritual blessings that are tied in with your being baptized. You simply let that response be known at the close of this song.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Sent the thing. I should have him send you the
scene. Sunday is at Canyon View.
And the fourth Sunday sing at Canyon View.
And the fifth Sunday fellowship is at East Palomar Street.
On the fifth Sunday of the month, the area-wide congregations are getting together and they're trying to promote friendship, fellowship among the congregations. So every fifth Sunday, there's going to be, after the morning worship assembly at a certain congregation, whoever's going to host it, a meal followed by singing. The meal starts at 12:30. Singing starts at 2 o'clock, and then at 3:30 they're going to have the evening assembly for those who would like to stay for that. So then this time to go, the fifth Sunday, it's going to be at the East Palomar Street congregation for this month. And then Brother Rose is preaching next Sunday morning. Christie and I'll still be here, but I want to involve him. He likes to be involved. He's been teaching the Wednesday class. Now he just started young men's leadership class, and then he likes to preach every so often. So I said, pick every third Sunday of the month on a Sunday morning. So I look forward to that. So next Sunday. Think of anything else. Jeremiah, I'm going to call on you again, if you would. I didn't ask you ahead of time, but to get any kind of preparations or get your thoughts together, but would you consent to lead us in our dismissal prayer?
Sure, Brett. Dear Father, we come to you and pray to thank you for all the new blessings, especially at the time that we can give you worship and praise, Father. We pray that this worship service has been pleasing, acceptable to you, and that we give you the glory and honor that you so richly deserve. Father, we ask that you, as we leave here, depart here, that you watch over us, guide us, guard us, and direct us into our separate ways, that you look over those who were previously mentioned going through various trials, tribulations, hardships, Father. Be with them, be with the travelers, we pray for a safe return. Again, Father, we're so very thankful for all the many blessings we have in Christ Jesus, your amazing love, your salvation, your grace, your faithfulness, and your ability to save us. We ask our sins be forgiven. Christ, we pray. Amen.